This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. It is the Thursday breakdown of the card. Week two of the college football season is here. I'm Tim Murray and joined as always on Thursdays by the one and only Matt Eumanns at Matt Eumanns 247. I'm at one Tim Murray. Mr. Eumanns, an up and down week one, I think, for us. Some opportunities from pre-season bets or, you know, when we were out in Hawaii, knowing that that would be a tricky spot. You and I didn't want to bet numbers. So overall, okay week, but here to do better for week two.
Yeah, not going to make excuses, but went 3-4 on the 7 plays I gave out on this podcast last week. And of the 3 big games, I won 2 of them, LSU and Miami, but I was way off target on Texas. We'll talk a little bit more about the Longhorns coming up here. But it was not a great week. 0 for you and I was great. Week 1, not so hot. Come back, hopefully we can turn week 2 into a winner. But like I've said before, you can't go crazy with betting college football right now in the first couple weeks of the season. It's a guessing game with some of these teams, what you're going to see. And, you know, nobody thought Alabama was going to look as bad as Bama looked last weekend.
No, and that is certainly my biggest miss. I know it's not technically a losing bet yet, but that is not a playoff team, and they've got a lot of uphill battles going. You can't lose that game. But we'll dive into all of that. Only one game between top 25 teams as opposed to last week when we had 3 games amongst top 10 teams. But I still think it's a pretty good card this week, and it's college football, so we're excited regardless. So let's get right into it. The biggest games of the week.
The main course.
And that's right. We call it the main course because we like to eat food here, and we are hungry for some big ones. And Matt, let's head down to Norman, Oklahoma, the only ranked versus ranked matchup. And I'm really pumped for this game. College Game Day will be there, 7:30 Eastern Time, ABC. We've got number 18 Oklahoma, number 15 Michigan. Look ahead lines. I know there were some 2.5s out there, Matt. Those have been scooped up from way back. And now you're looking at around 5, 5.5 in favor of the Oklahoma Sooners.
Well, I think DraftKings still has a 4.5 if what I see on the screen is an accurate number. So there's plenty of spots out there where you can lay 5. And, yeah, DraftKings showing Oklahoma minus 4.5, circa 5. And I'm going to lay it here with the Sooners. I've not played many favorites here early in the college football season, Tim. Played Hawaii minus 2.5 against Stanford. We squeaked that one out, 23-20. I did play... not big because we didn't get the best of the number, but I did play Arizona laying 16.5 against Hawaii last week. That was a winner. Loser, laying the big points with UNLV in week one against Idaho State, and I'm going to lay a shorter number here with Oklahoma. You could have laid 2.5, like you said early. Lay 4.5, 5 now, but I'm going to do it with the Sooners. And Brent Venables should have the upper hand here. Say what you want about Venables as a head coach. As a defensive coordinator and play caller, he's at his best, typically. And that's what I expect to see here is Venables getting the best of Bryce Underwood, the freshman quarterback, who's making his first start on the road. Hey, if Arch Manning can look that bad in his first road start at Ohio State, Underwood should be facing a pretty stiff challenge here in his first road start at Oklahoma against Brent Venables and that defense. Now, I know a lot of people are going to laugh and say, well, it's Illinois State last week. Illinois State was a 10-win team last year. So when you talk about some of these lower-level opponents, Illinois State's not a bad one. Oklahoma outgained them 495 to 151. Venables defense lived up to the hype against that opponent last week. And I think he can probably keep Underwood under wraps in this game. He was Underwood 21 for 31, 251 yards and a touchdown against New Mexico. But that Lobos defense is nothing special. And I think this Sooners defense is going to be something special. And Tim, I know, like me, you expect a lot out of this Oklahoma offense this season. John Mateer, the transfer from Washington State, new coordinator, comes over from Washington State. I'm not really sure why Jaden Ott, the running back from Cal, only had one carry last week. I don't know if there's something wrong with Ott, but the Sooners should be able to move the ball on the ground, Jaden Ott or not, and especially it's going to help if he's out there. This is one favorite. I do kind of like this week. I'm going to play Oklahoma minus 5.
Yeah, a lot of interesting aspects to this game. John Mateer down to 12-1 to win the Heisman Trophy at Circa. A lot of movement in the betting market, obviously, because of the Arch Manning performance, Kate Klubnik's performance. John Mateer, I've been curious about him, Matt, because of the level of competition he played at Washington State. And now this is really his first big test, but he will get it at home. Obviously, his offensive coordinator, Arbuckle, is with him here. But I think this defense for Michigan is the real deal, even though they lose, you know, Mason Graham with the 5th overall pick and Kenneth Grant with the 13th overall pick. So I'm going to stay off of this game. I did see the first half under got hit pretty good this week, 23.5 down to around 21.5. So that makes some sense, especially of what we saw last week, Matt, with a lot of unders and especially first half under slow start. So under money has come into the betting market here. I think your point is valid, though. What are we going to get from Bryce Underwood in his first true road start? We saw a couple of youngsters really struggle. Ty Simpson was not very good for Alabama. You mentioned Arch Manning. I thought C.J. Carr was decent at times against Miami there, but this is going to be a cranked-up atmosphere. Also worth noting here, Matt, Jayshon Barham, the linebacker for Michigan, I thought it was ridiculous targeting call. Sharon Moore tried to get that overturned. He's going to be out the first half here, so that is something to note heading into this game with Barham being out for the first half. So Michigan, Oklahoma, biggest game of the week. You are going to take or lay the points here with Oklahoma. I would be Michigan or pass, but ultimately, Matt, I think I'll pass. And I think, once again, you pointed this out in week one show. In-game betting is really a great opportunity. And with this being the biggest game on the board, I think you'll have plenty of opportunities to maybe find a position if you want to from an in-game standpoint. But to me, it would be, you know, under and dog, but I think ultimately I'll stay off until the in-game standpoint. And you're going to roll with Oklahoma here laying the 5. So that's the night game, Matt. Let's go earlier in the day. You and I love betting noon Eastern games, right, Matt? There's nothing better than a 9 a.m. Pacific time game. You and I love to bet these games, right? That's the way we like to do it.
Tim, the audience can sense the sarcasm in your voice. You know, I hate the 9 a.m.
Picking up on the sarcasm.
Absolutely hate the 9 a.m. games. And there's nothing worse than getting off to a poor start on a Saturday morning. And I have not had good luck with Saturday. See, I'm more of a night owl. Maybe that's why I have trouble picking winners in the 9 a.m. games. I'm a lot more successful picking winners in the night games. But, yes, there's a 9 a.m. game. If you happen to sleep through this game, you're probably not going to be missing much because I have a pretty good idea which game you're about to talk about.
Noon Eastern, Matt, ESPN, Illinois versus Duke. Okay. And I know our friend Chris, the Bear Felica, pointed this one out early on social media. This will be the old head-scratching, why is the 11th-ranked team in the country only a 3-point favorite against Duke? Duke was tied at the half against Elon in the first in their first game of the season. But, Matt, we talked about Illinois in the preseason pod that you and I did together, talking about your top 25. You did not have Illinois in your top 25. And I think you and I are going to align on this game. Illinois laying 3 on the road against the Duke Blue Devils.
Yeah, I thought you were going to tee up the Iowa State Cy-Hawk Classic there, but I guess we'll get to that later. Darian Mensah, transfer quarterback from Tulane. I think it's going to be a difference in this game. Mensah, 389 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Yes, it was against Elon, but the Blue Devils did what they were supposed to do in the second half of the game after they tied at 10, pull away, and win the game 45-17. 548 total yards for the Duke offense. And again, Illinois blew out Western Illinois, but Illinois State's a much better team than Western Illinois. When you talk about the lower-level opponents, Western Illinois is a bad football team. Now, I know the Illini brought back a bunch of experience. They bring back Luke Altmyer at quarterback. And if the Illini have one edge in this game, it's going to be the ground. They're going to be able to run the ball probably against this Duke defense a little bit too much. It makes me a little uncomfortable here. But I like the home dog. I'm playing Duke +3 in what I think should be a pick'em game. I'm really high on Darian Mensah, the Tulane transfer quarterback, like I mentioned. And I think Duke's got enough to get this done. So this is one of One of two home dogs I really like this week, and that's going to be Duke.
I'm with you. I took the 3 with Duke. I was hoping 3.5 would show up. I don't think we're going to get there. If I had to guess, Matt, I think we'll see a little Duke love come in later in the week. You look at betting splits right now, this will be the proverbial pros versus Joes game, right? 85% of bets right now at VSiN.com using DraftKings betting splits are on Illinois. This is going to be a spot where it looks like it's easy, and I don't think it will be. Manny Diaz last year as an underdog, 5-2-1 ATS, and you mentioned it. This is a Duke program that went out and spent big, right? They brought in Malik Murphy. He did okay last year, but they said, we want to upgrade the quarterback position, and they went out and got Mensah 389 yards a week ago, albeit a lot of it in the second half. They bring back Jaquez Moore at the running back position, and they brought in an FCS transfer, and of course, Duke would bring in a Harvard kid, but he was really good. Cooper Barkate, he had 5 catches for 117 last week against Elon, so they got some receivers. Now, I did see this note from my buddy Todd Furman. Duke has lost 37 of their last 38 games against top 12 teams, but they did get that win on Labor Day Monday night against Clemson with Riley Leonard at the helm. They were 9th in the country, but both of these teams rather untested in week 1. Illinois beat Western Illinois, but I'm with you. I think this Illinois team's a little bit overrated from where they were last year, 10 wins, and I'm going to take the 3 with the home dog as well. So a common play there. We're both going to be on Duke against Illinois. Matt, let's go to the game you mentioned already, the Cy-Hawk Trophy, also noon Eastern. Big noon kickoff is going to be there. This will kick off on Fox. Iowa, Iowa State. Boy, you have to be impressed by what we've seen from the Cyclones so far this year. I thought they would be in a letdown spot a week ago. I backed the wrong Dakota because apparently North Dakota was going to be feisty and not South Dakota. But Iowa State was phenomenal a week ago. And also worth noting here, Kamari Moulton, the starting running back for Iowa, has been ruled out. He's going to be out for a little bit. Did text with someone who covers the team. Didn't think it would be that big of a worry. So we'll take them for what their word at their word. Matt, if you watched any of the highlights, I'm not going to say I sat back and watched all of Iowa Albany a week ago, but Mark Gronowski, boy, I expected some big things from Gronowski, the South Dakota State transfer. How about 44 yards passing and not a very inspiring performance? He did mention he was nervous, first game with Iowa, all of that. So that makes me a little bit hesitant, but still, he's played a whole lot of football, over 12,000 total yards in his career, 130 touchdowns at South Dakota State, Matt. Look, the betting market, maybe this is a trap because you hear it all the time, right? 2.5 means the dog's probably the right side, 3.5 the favorite. So maybe I'm falling into the trap here, but with a total of 41.5, kind of a little bit of a sell high on Iowa State, I'm going to take the 3.5 here with Iowa and hope that a veteran quarterback like Mark Gronowski is going to have a much better performance here for the Hawkeyes. So I'm going to go ahead and take the 3.5. Matt, it is worth noting the under in this rivalry has been very advantageous to bettors, as this is 17-3 to the under since 2004. Right now, the number sits at 41.5, pretty much market-wide for Iowa, Iowa State.
Probably going to pass on this game. Tempted to play the Hawkeyes plus 3.5 or under as well. If I played it, that's what I would play. Tim, I had to laugh last week because I made the joke that I can't wait to see Mark Gronowski hand off in the Iowa offense. And you scoffed and you said, oh, Brian Ferentz is not there anymore. Well, it's still the Brian Ferentz offense. That's what they were running last week. I got to tell you, probably the biggest betting win I had last week, I parlayed Gronowski over 7.5 completions with over 43.5 passing yards at DraftKings. No, I'm just kidding. 8-for-15 for 44 yards. 8-for-15 for 44 yards. Unbelievable. 34-7 against Albany. Iowa is going to be able to run the ball as usual, but you got to wonder, were the Hawkeyes just keeping it under wraps? Were they saving everything in their passing attack for Iowa State, and they're going to throw a big surprise out there this week? I don't know, but I'm going to pass on this. I need to see more from Gronowski and from this Iowa offense. Like I said, I'm tempted to bet the dog here. Probably if I had to play either side, anything here, I'd probably bet this under the total, but I'm going to pass for now.
Matt, another noon game in the main course. We've got Baylor on the road against the Ponies of SMU. And I know you were disappointed in the performance we saw from Baylor a week ago, especially defensively, as Jackson Arnold was able to run for 137 yards and two touchdowns in that win for Auburn over Baylor. Look, this is a big spot here for the Baylor Bears on the road at SMU, short road dog. This is a high total, so I would say, you know, the points, maybe you could bet this in-game and get a better number on either side the way you look at it. Now, as a betting podcast, it's a little hard to do that, so I do like Baylor here in a little bit of a bounce-back spot. I'm not high on this SMU team entering this year. Matt, how about the fact that last week, SMU had a pair of pick sixes against East Texas A&M, whatever that is, and only outgained them by 49 yards. So SMU 1-0, but how good are they going to be, Matt? They lost nine starters on defense. They lost their running back in Breshard Smith. He got drafted into the NFL, over 1,300 rushing yards, 14 touchdowns. Now, I will say Kevin Jennings is back, and certainly mobile quarterbacks gave this Baylor defense fits last week, no doubt about it, Matt, as Jackson Arnold had such a monster day. I do wonder, and maybe this is me giving the benefit of the doubt to David Aranda, and I shouldn't do so, but you are facing elite wide receivers in Cam Coleman and Eric Singleton, the transfer from Georgia Tech. They held them to four catches for 43 yards. It felt like they picked their poison. So can they switch that mindset and try to bottle up Kevin Jennings? We will see, but I'm going to take Baylor here, Matt, as a short road dog in this one. Wanted the three, missed the three. Obviously, we're recording this on Thursday, so the threes don't exist, but I'm going to take Baylor plus the points. I think they win this game outright, and as mentioned, with a total of 64, Matt, you're probably going to be able to get a better number than 2.5 on both sides at some point in this game.
Well, I got burned by Baylor last week. I was one of the losers I had on this podcast last week. Very disappointed in Dave Aranda's team. I expected a lot better. So after getting burned by the Bears, I don't want to come back with them here. You know, there's a few teams out of Texas I had some questions about before the season. How good's Baylor going to be? Looked like after the strong finish last season, Bears were going to be pretty good. I was disappointed last week. SMU, not quite sure. TCU, I think we all had to be pretty impressed with what the Horned Frogs did to Bill Belichick on Monday night. So I think TCU looks like the best of those three teams. I'm not even going to guess at this Baylor-SMU game. I think you talked enough about it, and I'll leave it at that.
All right, before we move on to Matt's favorite set of matchups, those spicy matchups. Just a reminder, we were recently out in Hawaii, Matt. We had a show on Saturday from the brilliantly located Sheraton Waikiki Beach Resort. Vivid by day, vibrant by night. Experience the energy of Waikiki at the Sheraton Waikiki Beach Resort. It's nestled right on the world-famous Waikiki Beach, just steps from shopping, dining, and Oahu's best attractions. The Sheraton Waikiki is your getaway to paradise. They have two stunning outdoor pools, including the Edge Infinity Pool, the largest oceanfront infinity pool in North America. And you don't want to miss out on Matt's favorite activity when he goes to Waikiki, floating yoga in the Edge Pool with sunrise and glow sessions you'll find there as well. The Sheraton Waikiki, a proud sponsor of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. So yeah, that was quite the place. Dara and her team were amazing, and we can't thank them enough for hooking us up with that location for our VSiN College Football Tailgate Show back in week zero. All right, Matt, I know that you tend to like a little spice to your flavor of food, so let's get to those games this weekend.
Muy caliente!
Spicy matchups.
Matt, I'm pretty fired up about this one. Let's go to Stark Vegas, our colleague Stormy Bonatoni. I don't know what she'll have to do with her IFBs because those cowbells are going to be ringing as Mississippi State plays host to 12th-ranked Arizona State. This will be at 7:30 on ESPN2, Matt. And I did have to laugh as I saw a video from Arizona State practice where they had team managers with cowbells. Ding-a-ding-ding-ding, ding-a-ding-ding-ding. I'm like, buddy, you have no idea what you're about to walk into to try to mimic the Cowbells. And also a little shot from Sam Levitt, the quarterback of Arizona State. He said the Cowbells reminded him of high school. So I think maybe the fans down there in Stark Vegas might be a little bit extra amped up for this game. But all that aside, Matt, really fun game. I want the 7. I'm still waiting for the 7. We'll see if we get it back. But I think Arizona State could be in some trouble here. I think this is a really tricky spot as they head on the road down to Starkville.
More cowbell, Tim. More cowbell. That's one of the great Saturday Night Live skits of all time. I have not watched Saturday Night Live in probably 20 years, but that was a great one back in the day. You're going to hear plenty of cowbell Saturday in Starkville for this game as well. You're going to see a lot of Blake Shapen, too. He was limited to four games last year with the shoulder injury, knocked him out, and that Jeff Lebby team went 2-10. Big disappointment. Bulldogs lost on the road to Arizona State. That was before we knew really how good Arizona State was going to be. Cam Scataboo was the difference in that game. He tore up the Bulldogs on the ground. He's not there now. He's with the New York Giants. And that's going to make a big difference, I think, especially when the Sun Devils team hits the road and you don't have that stud running back who can get those tough yards, convert those third downs. I do love Sam Levitt as a young quarterback. Jordan Tyson as a big play wide receiver. Tyson had 12 catches, 140 yards against Northern Arizona last week. He had two touchdowns in that game, too. Sun Devils were not that sharp. They beat the Lumberjacks 38-19. I think that Mississippi State's defensive game plan here is going to have to be, you know, kind of double Tyson, take him away or limit him as much as possible because that's the guy Sam Levitt wants to go to. Mississippi State looked better defensively to me last week in that game at Southern Miss. And offensively, Blake Shapen led that offense to 465 total yards. This is the first game that jumped off the page to me this week. Hopefully I'm right about it. The first bet I made, Mississippi State plus 7. And right now, we're going to get 6.5. That's the best number out there in the market. I still think the Bulldogs are dangerous home dogs here in this spot. And Arizona State probably laying a little too much going on the road to face an SEC opponent that is improved from last season. So I'm on Miss State.
You know, a year ago, Matt, Arizona State, who came out of nowhere, right? They were a 6.5-point home favorite against Mississippi State. They won that game 30-23. They were up big in that one, as you alluded to, 27-3. Cam Scataboo going for 262. And now you're a 6.5-point road favorite. So there's a belief that this Arizona State, understandably so, and has taken a step in the right direction. I do think, you know, maybe a little bit of regression's coming for Arizona State, a team that was plus 14 in the turnover margin a year ago. Mississippi State, you mentioned it, Blake Shapen dealt with injuries last year. Very disappointing season for Jeff Lebby and company. I just think this is going to be a great environment, maybe the best environment outside of Oklahoma on Saturday, a night game down there in Starkville. I was impressed by Brennan Thompson, 7 catches, 92 yards, the Oklahoma transfer, and his connection with Blake Shapen. And I'll point this out. You know, people are going to roll their eyes and say, whatever, they beat Southern Miss. There were a lot of people this offseason saying that Southern Miss might beat Mississippi State.
Yes,
and that was a pretty dominant performance by the Bulldogs. They won 34-17, Matt, 100% postgame win expectancy. They proved that they were the SEC team, even on the road against a team that a lot of people, including me, are expecting some better things from this year from the Golden Eagles. So that was an impressive performance, I thought, for Mississippi State on the road at Southern Miss. You mentioned it, Arizona State played Northern Arizona. Look, Sam Levitt can use his legs. 7 carries, 73 yards, 2 touchdowns, had a 52-yard run against Northern Arizona. I was surprised that Kanye Udo, the Army transfer, only got 2 carries in that game. Are they saving him for this game? Is something going on there? So he was believed to be maybe one of the guys to replace Scataboo. But I'm with you. I missed the 7, unfortunately, but I still think Mississippi State at 6.5 worth a play, and hopefully we get that 7 back. But this will be an official play for me. Give me Mississippi State plus the points. Matt, we've had a lot of jawing this week, whether it was Dabo versus Brian Kelly. Mentioned Sam Levitt talking about the Cowbells. Well, how about Oregon and Oklahoma State? We talked about this on VSiN Primetime, and you do wonder if this does get maybe a little extra fire lit under the ass of this Oregon team, as Mike Gundy called out Oregon talking about how they pay their team $40 million. They've only spent $7 million. Oregon is paying a lot of money for their team. From a non-conference standpoint, there's coaches saying they should play teams with similar budgets. Dan Lanning responded, if you want to be a top 10 team in college football, you better be invested in winning. And you remember back to the Colorado and Oregon game, his pregame speech for that one, they're here for clicks, we're here for wins, something to that effect, Matt. They were up, I think, 35-0 at halftime in that particular game. Not going to be an official play, but I did lay a little bit on Oregon in the first half here. You got to remember, too, Oklahoma State's starting quarterback broke his foot, so he's out. This could be ugly, especially if Dan Lanning wants to make it ugly. So not an official play, but I'm curious to see how this one plays out and if Dan Lanning maybe steps on the throat a little bit more after Gundy couldn't shut up his yapper on Monday night.
Yeah, Gundy probably should not have been talking before this game, but you know, that's who Mike Gundy is, right? He's a swashbuckler. He's going to run his mouth and loose cannon. I think he's going to pay for it here. Now, Dan Lanning needs to get this Oregon offense on track. Dante Moore's a quarterback I've got a lot of questions about, former transfer from UCLA. Maybe this is a type of game that's going to be a confidence builder for him and that Ducks offense. Like you talked about, you got a freshman quarterback on the road for Oklahoma State. The quarterback who went down, how do you pronounce his name, Tim?
Quarterback is it Henge?
I think it's Henge. Anyway, he's got some wheels. And he had some potential, I thought, after watching him in that opening game. But he goes down with a broken foot, and now you got to turn to a freshman. You're going on the road at Oregon, and you're going to get blown out here. I don't want to say this is a game where Dan Lanning can name the score. I don't think it's to that extent, but this is going to be one where Dan Lanning can pour it on, I think, in the second half. And he kind of wants to rub Mike Gundy's face in the manure here. So it would be Oregon or pass. I'm going to pass for right now, but I might end up making some sort of play on Oregon if I see something that pops up here. It would be lay the points or nothing because I think Dan Lanning is going to want to put it on Gundy pretty good.
Well, speaking of revenge, we saw a couple of revenge spots this week when you think to Arizona State and Mississippi State. How about Ole Miss at Kentucky? I don't have a bet on this game, but curious to get your quick thoughts on it, Matt. As Ole Miss, really the reason they missed out on the playoff last year was a loss to Kentucky, an inexplicable loss. A team that won one conference game in Kentucky, and now Ole Miss goes on the road to Kentucky. They're laying 10 here. You wrote up the SEC for the VSiN guide. Any interest in the favorite here in getting some revenge on the road at Big Blue Nation?
You know, we just talked about Oklahoma State, and that's one of my win total best bets for the season's under 5. I also played Kentucky under 4.5. I just want Ole Miss to get the win here. I'm not going to lay the big number. You can talk all you want about Lane Kiffin and the revenge angle, but Mark Stoops might have his number a little bit. And Stoops, obviously, can put a pretty good defense on the field, and he might be able to find out ways to slow Austin Simmons and this Ole Miss offense and beat up on a patsy last week. I didn't think Kentucky was going to be very good. Still don't. Zach Calzada, the seventh-year journeyman quarterback, 10 for 23, 85 yards passing with a pick. Talk about all the poor performances we saw from quarterbacks a week ago. Zach Calzada is on that list as well. Wildcats can't run the ball. They went for 220 on the ground a week ago against Toledo in that game. Thanks to the Rockets. I appreciate the Rockets, by the way, getting a backdoor cover in that game, 24-16. Needed that one. Wildcats can run the ball, and like I said, they put up 220 on the ground a week ago. I could see Kentucky hanging around in this game. I'm not overconfident in Lane Kiffin rolling into Lexington and winning this by a huge margin here. So I'm going to pass on the game and just hope Ole Miss gets it. Hey, look, for all the bitching and crying and whining that Lane Kiffin did last year about getting left out of the playoff, take care of business as a 2-touchdown home favorite. That was an embarrassing loss for Kiffin. He has one of those almost every year. You know, he loses a 2-touchdown home favorite to a Kentucky team that went 1-7 in the SEC. That was Mark Stoops' only win. If Kiffin wins that game, he's probably in the playoff. So don't complain about the playoff committee. Take care of business at home. I think revenge is an overplayed angle by a lot of handicappers. Ole Miss would just be happy to go in there and get the win by 7 or whatever. I'm not going to lay the points here.
Matt, you also have a win total over Missouri. Very advantageous schedule for the Tigers. I thought Bo Pribula looked pretty solid. He took over that QB1 role. Ran a lot in that season opening win against, I believe, Central Arkansas. So we got the border war here. 3:30 Eastern. This game will be on ESPN2. And Missouri right now laying 6.5 against Kansas. Look, I'm a big Lance Leipold guy. I do get worried a little bit about this defense against Missouri, but boy, it feels like a decent amount of points there for a rivalry game. Missouri laying 6.5 against the Jayhawks.
Well, on the theme of win totals here, like you said, I've got my biggest win total bet is Missouri over 7. Yeah, a little bit concerned about this game. I just need the Tigers to win this game. I'm not going to lay the points. Price is a little bit steeper than what I thought. I made this number 4.5, so I don't know if I'm a little bit off here, but I think Kansas, Jalen Daniels is off to a hot start here for the Jayhawks, and I think they can make the Tigers sweat in this game. I'm not going to lay the points. I'm just going to hope Missouri gets the win. I expect Missouri to get the win, but I don't think it's going to be easy.
Yeah, once again, I mean, it's you kind of look at past results. All right, Kansas smashed Fresno State, and then Fresno State turned around and crushed Georgia Southern. Now, do you play that, or is that some sort of just kind of wacky coincidence? But, yeah, I think Kansas in a rivalry game, the border war, these two fan bases certainly don't like each other. So it'll be an entertaining game nonetheless to watch that one. Matt, Florida beat the mighty Long Island Sharks last week, but all kidding aside, Florida's about to embark on maybe the most difficult schedule in all of college football. So if you have to open up the season against a joke of a program like Long Island, hey, maybe you'll take it. But boy, this game got a little bit more interesting, didn't it? 4:15 SEC Network, we've got Florida taking on South Florida. And what I've noted here is that Florida is getting a little bit of support here in the market. This thing is up to 17.5, 18 at circa in favor of the Gators. South Florida was very strong in that win over Boise State, but they benefited from some, you know, poor red zone production from Boise. I did come away impressed by South Florida, but it does feel like you're punching up in class. You and I don't like laying big numbers, but curious your thoughts on South Florida, Florida in Gainesville on Saturday.
Yeah, the Sharks were out of their element in the swamp last week. And, I'll give Sunbelt Billy a little bit of a break. I don't like the Florida scheduled Long Island. Schedule a little bit more of a respectable opponent than that. But he does have an extremely difficult schedule coming up here. So it was going to be Florida needed to schedule a layup against somebody and got it against Long Island. Okay, so cautionary tale here about South Florida. I bet the Bulls last year against Miami. And they got off to a great start, looked promising early, and ended up getting blown out in that game by the Hurricanes. I can kind of see something similar happening here against the Gators. Byron Brown, pretty strong in that game against Boise State, 210 yards passing, 43 yards rushing. But Tim, the score, the 34-7 score is not really indicative of how that game was played. I don't think it was that lopsided. When you look at the box score, South Florida was not all that impressive offensively, and gave up a lot of yards to the Boise offense. The Broncos killed themselves with three lost fumbles, and that's where the game got out of control in the second half. So I'm not going to go overboard here and say this South Florida team could roll into the swamp and beat the Gators. I'm concerned that it could go the way the South Florida-Miami game went a year ago, when the Bulls got off to a great start, lost control of the game in the second half. I'm tempted to take the points here. That's a lot of points, and you're tempted to take it with South Florida. But as of right now, I'm probably going to pass.
It does, to me, feel a little bit like a trap. That's a big number. We all saw them on Thursday open up week one with that win. But you're right. I mean, you look at some of the numbers for that game. It might be just a little bit misleading there for USF. Not as dominant as the 4-touchdown victory may look there at 34-7. And I think DJ Lagway and company, boy, that was, you can't really take much from LIU. But I think this Florida team, I do have a little bit under 7.5 on Florida just because if Lagway gets hurt, how big of the drop-off is it at the quarterback position? But I think Florida could win big here, but not something I am going to play. Something you're going to play, let's go back to a night game, Matt, and this game will be 7:30 on ACC Network. I had Virginia Tech last week, and boy, was I disappointed in the quarterback performance from Kyren Drones, as I thought Virginia Tech had every opportunity to cover in that game, and then you give up a punt return as they get, you know, Virginia Tech gets Beamer balled by Shane Beamer there. So in the Beamer Bowl, South Carolina gets the win, gets the cover, much to my chagrin, and now Virginia Tech comes back home. Brent Pry's already feeling the heat, and you're facing a team in Vanderbilt that last year you were a double-digit favorite going to Nashville. You lost the game outright, and you've got the underdog god that is Diego Pavia, 8-2 ATS as an underdog a year ago at New Mexico State in his final year there. I believe he was 5-2-1 ATS, and one of those games he got hurt, so I think 5-1-1 ATS when he finishes games. This is a fascinating game on a Saturday night. You know it's going to be hopping down there at Lane Stadium, Enter Salmon, all of that. Virginia Tech at some shops is actually a favorite here. We'll call it a pick 'em, but there are some 1, 1.5s out there in favor of the Hokies.
Yeah, I'm taking Vandy in the points. You stole my material here on Diego Piave and the underdog stats. I like the Commodores in the underdog role here, and this line I think is telling you something. When Virginia Tech is less than a 3-point home favorite, and you're seeing pick 'em out there at some spots, one of the great stories, Diego Pava in college football. Talk about a guy who started out at New Mexico Institute, went to New Mexico State, and now at Vandy. All right, that's not exactly hopping from one 5-star hotel to another one. That's the dregs of college football. And you know, aside from the Vandy story, this team's been really competitive against the heavyweights in the SEC, including Alabama last year. I like the Commodores in this spot. I was very disappointed in that Virginia Tech performance on Sunday. And again, Tim, we're talking about quarterbacks who were disappointing in the first week. How about Kyren Drones of the Hokies? 15 for 35 with two picks. That was a poor performance from the VTech quarterback. I'm going to go with Vandy here. I think the line is telling you to take the Commodores on the road.
All right, Matt, let's just run through some other games. Not necessarily plays. I do have a couple plays on some of these games. But Arch Manning's bounce back. San Jose State, talk about disappointing performance. Boy, I did not see them losing to Central Michigan to start the college football season. Ken Niumatalolo said it was one of the worst losses of his career, and they lose to Central Michigan as 2-touchdown favorites. Well, it doesn't get easier. Noon Eastern on ABC, you got to take on an upset Texas squad. 36.5, what do we see from Arch Manning, Matt?
Well, hopefully we see much better performance from Arch than we saw against Ohio State. I'll tell you right now, Diego Pavia has got a better chance to win the Heisman than Arch Manning, and I'm serious about that. The Arch, that I talked a lot about Arch and you know, the 8-1 Heisman bet I made before the season. I've already lit that on fire, and I have no regrets. He's got no shot. You might as well put him at 100-1 right now. He's not going to win it. But Texas has got some shots here to some get right games, right, for this offense coming up, and San Jose State's going to be one of them. So Arch is going to put up some numbers. He's going to look better the next few weeks. But I can't get past how bad he looked against that Buckeyes defense. And I'm just talking about his footwork and his mechanics were sloppy. Fundamentals. Footwork, fundamentals, and mechanics, all sloppy. Throwing off his back foot, throwing sidearm. When he's got a running back cutting across the middle and you need to throw a touch pass and lead him a little bit, he fires a rocket at the running back's knees. First pass of the game, he's got a wide receiver open 20 yards out in the flat, and he bounces at 15 yards. And the pick he threw was a really bad decision where he didn't read the defense quickly enough, was slow to make the throw, and he got picked off. Arch really disappointed me in the way he played against Ohio State. That said, Julian Sand and the Ohio State offense didn't impress the hell out of me either. Texas outgained Ohio State 336-203. In that game. So a little bit better play calling from Sark, little bit better play from Arch Manning, and I think Texas could have been the winning side there. But again, you can't go back and play it again. I think what Sark's going to want to have happen here is Texas has got, like I said, got to get some get-right performances offensively, and they can get it here. You and I both like Coach Ken at San Jose State, but that's a bad, bad loss. The Spartans are coming off.
You can't lose that game.
You cannot lose that game at home. Now you're going on the road against Texas, and you're going to get destroyed. I could see something here, Tim, like 52-3, some lopsided score. I don't know. Walker Egitt and the San Jose State offense has got some potential, and they could get a couple of backdoor scores. This Texas defense is not going to give up much in the first half, though. If San Jose State's going to get something, it's probably going to come after halftime. So keep an eye on maybe some live betting aspects of this game. I feel like that Texas needs a pick-me-up and is going to get it here against San Jose State. Very disappointed in the Spartans and their performance in the opener.
Texas had an 82.2% post-game win expectancy in that loss there to Ohio State. Hey, just a reminder, folks, we've got some great sponsors part of this podcast, including our friends at Kahala Shirts, a proud sponsor of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. It's the original Aloha shirt brand. Founded in Honolulu in 1936, Kahala has been at the heart of island style for nearly 90 years. Next year marks their 90th anniversary, a celebration of timeless craftsmanship, bold design, and Hawaii's rich cultural story. Most of Kahala's iconic Aloha shirts are still made right there in Hawaii using original prints and time-honored techniques that showcase the beauty of the islands. But also, Kahala innovates with modern styles, offering stretchy performance shirts, cooling polos designed for golf, and comfortable shorts built for every adventure. You could check out their full collection over at kahala.com. That's kahala.com. They have 6 shops across Hawaii. If you're headed out through the islands, you could also check them out on Instagram at kahala. Kahala, celebrating 90 years of Aloha. Matt, I want to jump to a game that we saw late in the season a year ago, and I was on the dog in this game, and I was very fortunate to get a cover. That was UConn and Syracuse a year ago. UConn scored a backdoor touchdown with like 90 seconds to go. Syracuse, a team that I am down on this year, schedule's brutal. And UConn, as many of you know, is an independent, and they play 3 ACC teams this year. These are their Super Bowls. They play at Syracuse, at Boston College, and they host Duke later on in the season. They've got a veteran quarterback in Joey Fagnano back for another year. Their running back, Cam Edwards, back. Skylar Bell also back for another season. So this number moved from 8.5 down to 6.5, so it left me off of it. But I'd be curious if UConn at noon Eastern on ESPN Plus, if they are a feisty underdog in this role in the noon window slot. But I felt like, Matt, I don't need another noon window pain. So I'm gonna pass on this one.
I'm going to mention about that game. Like you said, that's a 9 a.m. game. I decided to pass too. But this, to me, is more about the number. I like the UConn side here. I like the Huskies as dogs. But the problem is Circa opened this at 9, and now it's 6.5. So you're too late to the party to bet UConn at this point. But I agree with the line move.
Well, I will say this real quickly. Think back to last year. Syracuse had a pro quarterback, 3 really good receivers, 2 of them in the pros now, 1's at Penn State, a pro running back. And that number closed 10, and this number opened 9. So the market was probably off on this because Syracuse is significantly downgraded. But we'll see how this one plays out. Syracuse coming off that loss last week against Tennessee. Matt, speaking of losses, Clemson loses in their season opener. Another massive favorite. They're number 8 in the country still. They get Troy, ACC Network, 3:30 Eastern. Overall, just big picture on Clemson. Did you come away disappointed with that performance? What jumped out to you about their 17-10 loss to LSU?
You know, Tim, we're not going to be right about everything we say in the preseason, and hopefully you're not going to be wrong about everything you say. I was wrong on the Arch Manning hype, but I was right when I said I thought Clemson was being overhyped. There was a lot of people talking about Clemson, national championship, Cade Klubnik, Heisman. I just, you know, every time the Tigers, Clemson Tigers, stepped up in class last year, they got it handed to them. And they were 0-3 against the SEC, and I talked about that last week on the podcast. Maybe it's more about LSU being that much better. You know, maybe LSU's just so much improved defensively and LSU is the real deal. But yes, I was disappointed in Clemson, and I'm glad I did not buy into that Clemson preseason hype.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to our friend Jimmy Ott. He came on the Tailgate Show, which you can hear every Saturday at 9 a.m., and he said he loved first half and full game under, and those were two very easy winners. So thank you to Jimmy on that one. Matt, you know, we saw maybe not to this level, but we saw a big correction from UNLV's performance against Idaho State to their number against Sam Houston. And my question heading into this particular game is, did the market go too crazy here? North Carolina embarrassed themselves on Monday night, and there were also a lot of national media members who embarrassed themselves after they scored a touchdown on their opening drive.
That's true.
They lose 48-14, and now you've got a short week to take on Charlotte. This number was as high as 21 in-game, I believe, during North Carolina TCU. It's now sitting at 12.5 or 13.5. I'd be curious if this is a spot where North Carolina, maybe the reaction is too drastic and North Carolina goes out and beats an inferior Charlotte team, who, by the way, got their ass kicked against App State, despite the betting public thinking they knew the result of that one last week.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good call by you right there. I don't know if it's an overreaction. I think North Carolina looks pretty bad. I felt from the start that this Bill Belichick experiment was going to be a bust in Chapel Hill. And Will Hill and I had talked about this on some shows over the summer. How long is Belichick going to last at North Carolina? I said, no more. 2 years tops, and I'm not sure if he's going to last beyond 1 year. But I think there's a decent chance he's going to last 2 years at the college game. Big adjustment. You got 70 new players, and he's not out coaching people. I don't care what you think of Belichick, you know, the most accomplished coach in NFL history. He was not out coaching people the last 2 years he was in the NFL. He was 4-13 when he was with the Patriots in his last season. When he didn't have superior talent, he didn't look like a superior coach. And his last home game was against a bad Jets team, and he lost. That was his last game as Patriots coach. So he has not been working any miracles on the sideline for a while since Tom Brady left Foxborough, and he hasn't had the better talent. Will asked me last week during the second half when TCU was embarrassing Belichick, what's the adjustment for this game against Charlotte? And I said, well, at DraftKings, I saw a number of 20 hanging out there, 20 or 21. I think it's fair to adjust this all the way down to 14. Now, the Charlotte team looks pretty bad, too, so I just think the market has made the proper adjustment here, and I'm more curious just to watch this game and see if the Tar Heels look that much better this week. But I think the number adjustment is right. And Tim, obviously it's got to be Max Johnson at quarterback, right?
Yes, 100%. No doubt about it. Max Johnson looks very much the prototypical pro quarterback. Great story, by the way, as you mentioned it on primetime earlier this week. Just gruesome leg injury. He's battled through a number of spots. I think he deserves. I was never a big Gio Lopez fan. I was surprised that he was the guy they ultimately hitched their wagon to. Look, you mentioned it, I think, too. Ryan Brown at Purdue was at UNC. I mean, wouldn't he be the best option? It's a bit head-scratching at some of the personnel decisions, at least at the quarterback position, to roll with Gio Lopez. But I think it should be Max Johnson. I want to circle back real quickly. Charlotte opened 8.5 last week, closed only a 3-point dog, and they lost 34-11. So the market movement on the 49ers was not correct a week ago. Matt, I mentioned this game last week, and I was kicking myself for not betting it. Tarleton State's a very good FCS program, and they were catching 14 against Army, and a number of us have bet under Army win total of 7.5. And Tarleton State, on 6 days rest, coming across country, beat Army. And there's a belief sometimes that you can bet on these teams that lose to FCS teams. Maybe they're a little bit on sale. Well, the problem is they're going to Kansas State, and they just squeaked past an FCS team as well. So this number's gotten up to 17. Not going to be a bet for me, but I'm curious to watch it. Looking at Kansas State, is this a team that preseason Big 12 co-favorites with Arizona State, Matt. Is this a team that was a bit overrated? Chris Klieman, a coach that you and I both like, but boy, you lose in a slop fest to Iowa State, and God, they were lucky to beat North Dakota.
Yeah, Chris Kleiman's been a bet on coach for me for a long time, but I have not bet on him in the first two games this season. In fact, I bet against him. I had Iowa State. And last week, I was talking with Big Randy McKay, who's some say the greatest gambler to ever swagger out of North Dakota. And Randy was still regretting that North Dakota let that game get away last week against K-State. And I think at one point he said on the live line, North Dakota was like minus 250 to win the game. And that's obviously the Wildcats put together that game-winning drive and pulled it out. So I think you have to have some legitimate concerns here. The K-State's not what it was hyped up to be in the preseason. And maybe, you know, in time, Chris Kleiman's going to figure that thing out. But right now, K-State looks pretty shaky.
You know, one other game I want to get to, Matt. Last year, I remember week two vividly because we did this podcast and you gave out Northern Illinois plus 28. And the reason I bring that up, Northern Illinois, of course, went on to pull off the upset of the college football season, beating Notre Dame. But you've got a similar spot. Now, do I expect the boys from Ruston to go into Death Valley and get this victory? I certainly do not. But this is another kind of hold your nose special this week, where Louisiana Tech, Matt, a team who was, they won 24-0, but were actually outgained by Southeast Louisiana last week in that 24-0 win. Situationally, I played a situational spot last week, and it absolutely burned me with South Dakota. I'm going to take the 38 with Louisiana Tech and hold my nose. There was so much put into that LSU game against Clemson. And next week they play Florida at home, Matt. This could be a sleepy spot for Brian Kelly's squad. 28-31 point win, get out of Dodge. So I'm going to go ahead and take the points and hold my nose here with the boys from Ruston catching 38.
I don't blame you. I see a 38 out there on the screen, but most books, including Circa, are a little bit below that at 37. So this is one of those games for Murray's Delicatessen, right? This is a sandwich spot with LSU on the big game, off the big game at Clemson, and then with a Florida game up next. And you could you know, see the Tigers falling asleep at the wheel a little bit in this game. It is their home opener, and there's going to be a lot of hype around this team off last week's win. We would be remiss if we did not mention Brian Kelly's ridiculous clock and game management blunder at the end of the first half last week at Clemson, but LSU was able to overcome that with a dominant second half. I'm with you here. I think I would take the 38 or pass. I'm probably going to pass, but this is a game I could see LSU sleepwalking a little bit.
All right, Matt, before we get to the late night slate, we got four games to hit on before we get out of here and give you your best bet recap. Just a reminder, our good friends at Rainbow Authentics, as you can check out the hat, I rock it all the time here. One of the many things you can get over at rainbowauthentics.com, you can get game used apparel, autographs, trading cards of your favorite Hawaii student athletes. Every item tells a story, whether it's a game worn jersey, signed ball, unique collectibles. You're capturing the moment and owning a piece of Hawaii sports history. Beyond memorabilia, Rainbow Authentics is committed to supporting the community. Their mission is rooted in empowering student athletes and coaches, strengthening local programs, and giving back to Hawaii with pride. They've got exclusive custom gear. Also, word on the street, could be having some fun t-shirts coming out soon, so keep our eyes peeled for that. So check it out, rainbowauthentics.com. Mahalo to our friends over at Rainbow Authentics, a proud sponsor of the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast. We'll get to the Hawaii game here in just a moment, Matt, but a game in our backyard. We've got UNLV and UCLA. This game on CBS Sports Network, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific time. UCLA, anywhere from a 2.5 to 3 point favorite against UNLV. You saw this UCLA team up close and personal. Boy, did they get their ass kicked by Utah.
Yeah, I like you said, I was thoroughly unimpressed with everything I saw with UCLA last week. Offensive line is pedestrian. So are the skill position. You don't have many playmakers, a running back or receiver, or tight end for that matter. Nico doesn't appear to be anything special at quarterback. And on defense, I counted somewhere around 40 to 50 missed tackles by UCLA last week. Just very poor performance at the Rose Bowl. The announced attendance, by the way, I was there Saturday night, and it was announced a crowd of like 35,500. Actual people in the stadium, I read later, was around 27,000, which is crazy. In a venue like the Rose Bowl, and Utah brought a lot of those fans. Utah also dominated the game on the field, 30-14 in first downs, 492-220 in total yards, and 37 and a half minutes time of possession. Nico, 11-22 passing. I didn't see anything that stood out from the UCLA perspective, Tim. And what do we make of UNLV right now? Who knows? We're guessing a little bit here because the Rebels had to come back to beat Idaho State. They went on the road and beat Whitney Houston a week ago. Not really an impressive early season schedule here for UNLV. I do think the Rebels coaching staff is a little bit better. Dan Mullen and his coaches, I give them the check mark here when you're looking at edges on the Jimmy the Greek chalkboard. I'm going to go, Sir can move this number to 3. I'm taking UNLV plus 3 here. Like I said, guessing a little bit, but watching UCLA up close, I think this Bruins team could be pretty bad. I'm not impressed with the coaching staff. And you know what? Anthony Calandra, the transfer from Virginia, has played okay for the Rebels at quarterback so far. And you got Jet Thomas, who's a playmaker at running back. I think UNLV should win this game. I'm not going to go crazy with this. But I do like the Rebels as home dogs here, catching 3.
A lot of 2.5s out there, so if you see that 3, make sure to scoop it. We've seen a couple of spots. You know, we talked about Baylor, SMU. I still want the 3. Mississippi State and Arizona State, I still want the 7. We've seen a big move in this, Matt, game. And let's go to the CW late night, 10:15 Eastern, up at the Palouse. We got San Diego State taking on Washington State. And right now, you're getting the worst of the number. So when you record this show on a Thursday, that's always a tricky part to it. But they played Stony Brook. I get it. It was, the Seawolves were out of their element, traveling across country from Long Island to take on San Diego State. But Washington State also played an FCS team, albeit a better one, in Idaho. But that's an Idaho program that their coaches and their players are mostly down in New Mexico, and Washington State was wildly underwhelming in that game. Now, once again, you don't want to play into too much of an overreaction, and maybe I'm getting caught up in it, but I was impressed by what I saw from Sean Lewis's defense, believe it or not. This is an offensive-minded head coach, Matt, but they bring back 11 starters on defense. They have a Michigan transfer quarterback, Jaden Dangle, who I think is pretty raw but can run a little bit. They've got Bert Emanuel Jr., very elusive backup quarterback that they'll bring in and have him run around a bit. I think San Diego State is a little bit underrated here. The market agrees. This went from like 4.5 down to 1.5, so I'm getting the worst of it. But I think San Diego State wins this game. So for the purpose of the podcast, I'll do 1.5 here, Matt. But I'll be on San Diego State money line late night on the CW. All right, lastly, Matt, we got to talk the Hawaii game. And our Hawaii game all year long is going to be brought to you by our friends Nahoku, Hawaii's finest jewelers since 1924. They will be the proud sponsor of the Hawaii game every single podcast. For nearly 100 years, Nahoku has been sharing the spirit of aloha through an incomparable collection of Hawaiian and island lifestyle jewelry. Each piece is inspired by the beauty and traditions of the islands, crafted with Hawaiian gold, lustrous pearls, and rare gemstone. Nahoku designs a timeless, perfect for celebrating life's important moments. From that special keepsake to an engagement ring, a simple gift if you head out to the islands to capture that aloha spirit. Matt, they have 30 locations in Hawaii and also locations on the mainland as well. Check them out, nahoku.com, Nahoku. Mahalo to our friends at Nahoku who helped us get out to Hawaii earlier this year. Well, Matt, I would say pretty disappointing to see Micah Alejado play last week for the Rainbow Warriors. And the market is telling us that he will not be playing here against Sam Houston in a midnight Eastern game. This will be, you'll be able to watch it for free. Our good friend Kanoa Leahy will be on the broadcast there. The Mountain West app is how you can get it for free this year, Matt. But I'll toss to you first here because it looks like it will be the backup. Nothing official. I think Timmy Chang said it is a game time decision. for Hawaii and Mike Alahato, but he had a boot on his foot Tuesday. He did not practice on Wednesday. Certainly doesn't seem like Mike Alahato will be playing in this game in a very important spot for Hawaii here, starting a three-game homestand with Sam Houston, Portland State, and then Fresno State.
Yeah, hate to criticize our friend Timmy Chang, the Hawaii coach, but you and I talked about this last week, and I thought he should have sat Micah Alahato out against Arizona multiple times on different VSIN shows last week. I said, Alahato or not, Hawaii's probably going to get blown out in this game. They put Rainbow Warriors put so much into that opener against Stanford, and then it's a tough scheduling spot going the road to Tucson the next week. I thought it was pretty obvious that Hawaii was going to get blown out by Arizona last week. And I thought also it was a mistake from Timmy Chang. I know the Micah Alahato is a tough kid. He wants to get out there and play. He's going to try to talk his way onto the field. And the coach is a former quarterback, and he understands he's a competitor. Okay, he talked him into it. He let him play. He should not have let him play. The entire time I thought he should have set him out on that bad right foot. The important thing here is you're probably not going to beat Arizona anyway. That is a two-touchdown number when you're going to Tucson. It was bet up to 17.5, dropped to 16.5 at game time. You're probably not going to win that game anyway. You have to make sure you win your next three home games. You have to make sure Alahato's healthy for those games. And now here you sit where he's doubtful. We call it doubtful, actually, against Sam Houston on Saturday night. You've got to win this game. Now he's 6.5-point home favorite. And I think Hawaii's in trouble here if you got to play the backup quarterback, Tim. So might look under an underdog, but we got to monitor this over the weekend and see if Micah Alahato is going to try to start at quarterback for Hawaii. You know how tough he is. He's going to try to talk his way onto the field again this week. But how effective is he going to be if he does play? If he doesn't, I think Hawaii might be life or death to win this game.
Yeah, and look, Sam Houston, they've got their own quarterback questions as well. Yep. Their depth chart lists Watson and I think it's Mateur as an or, so we'll see what Phil Longo decides to do there. Both these teams have played two games, so there's no rest advantage. But, yeah, Mike Alahato, like you said, he battled it out. He said post-game to our friends at Hawaii Sports Radio there, they put it on social media that, you know, he told Coach Chang he could go, and he let him go. But both have kind of shown regret this week. So for me, Matt, I do have a win total over 5.5 for Hawaii. So this is a little bit of a try to middle here. I'm going to split my unit. I'm going to take Sam Houston +7, and I'm going to take under 48.5. So I think this is going to be a grinder, and they got to avoid the turnovers. Luke Weaver, you mentioned, he's the backup. If Alahato can't go, he would start. Turnovers galore last week against Arizona, maybe pressing a little bit too much. So I would anticipate, if it is the backup, that this is more of a conservative game plan with Luke Weaver in there. Hawaii went -5 in the turnover margin just a week ago. All right, Matt, we've run the board here. We've given out our best bets. So let's wrap up like we like to do. Let's make this nice and neat and let everybody know what we're betting here in week two.
Best bets recap.
All right, Matt, you lead us off with your best bet recap.
All right, the first two bets I talked about on VSIN this week, Duke +3 and Mississippi State +7. Now, for this podcast, I'm taking Mississippi State +6.5 because the sevens have disappeared. So Duke and Mississippi State as home dogs. Going Vandy, Diego Pavia +1.5, or I will say +1. Vandy +1 at Virginia Tech. The big game of the weekend, I'm going to ride with Brent Venables here and bet against the freshman quarterback in his first start on the road. We're going to Oklahoma -5 against Michigan. And then Saturday night in Vegas, Circa had a 3 on this. I think it just dropped to 2.5, but anyway, I sent the play in at UNLV +3, and that's how I bet it. And you can buy it at that point if you want to, or the 3 might pop up again Saturday. But guessing a little bit here that the Bruins are as bad as they looked on Saturday night against Utah at the Rose Bowl. I'm going to go UNLV +3 at Allegiant Stadium. I don't have a lot of plays this week. I was 3-4 on this podcast last week. I got 5 best bets here right now.
All right, Matt, we'll run through mine here to close it out. A couple common plays and a bunch of noon plays, which terrifies me. Duke +3 against Illinois. Iowa plus 3.5. Hopefully that's not a trap like the Oregon State game was last week. That was a nightmare as Cal came out and just manhandled the Beavers, and I felt like it was. But we'll see if Iowa can ugly this up in the Cy-Hawk game. For the grading purposes, Baylor plus 2.5. Hoping this gets to 3. I probably will buy to 3, but for grading purposes, we'll go Baylor plus 2.5 as they take on SMU. I'm with you. Let's hit those cowbells hard on Saturday night in Stark, Vegas. Mississippi State plus 6.5, hoping to get the 7 back. Probably will buy to 7. Hold Your Nose special sandwich spot of the week, Louisiana Tech plus 38. San Diego State plus 1.5, and then a split unit play, Matt. Late night, because of the uncertainty with Micah Alejado, the quarterback for Hawaii, will go Sam Houston plus 7, half unit, and under 48.5 in Sam Houston, Hawaii, half unit as well. All right, that's going to do it for this week on the podcast. As a reminder, 3 episodes each and every week. The numbers have been amazing, Matt, as we have climbed up the charts last week in the top 75 of the iTunes chart, which is pretty cool to see. And hopefully we can keep that momentum going. Continue to give us those 5-star reviews. It helps us out as we continue to try to build this. We'll be back early next week with an episode with Adam Burke, then Brett Ciancia and Wes Reynolds midweek, and Matt and myself every Thursday here on this podcast. Thanks to Ryan Hunter and Wyatt, our producer of this pod. And you can also check this out, lastly, on YouTube, youtube.com/VSinLive, if you want to watch the podcast with graphics and all of that fun stuff as well. For Matt, I'm Tim. Let's have ourselves a winning week. This is the VSin College Football Betting Podcast.